Hello and welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. And today we have an actress who's in an Oscar-nominated film. And the film is Being the Ricardos. She's a film actor. She's a TV actor. She's a voiceover artist. She's a narrator. Basically, she's a veteran storyteller.
But before we get to that, remember, I'm a real estate broker. And if you're in Los Angeles and you're buying or selling, TEAMRILEY.com, TeamRiley.com for all your real estate needs. Oh, really? No, Riley. TeamRiley.com.
Why don't we just get Dana Lynn Barron on the phone and let's see what she has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Dana, it's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Well, hello, Johnny Keith. I am very well. How are you this morning?
It's awesome. I'm in real estate. I like researching the properties and title and all that stuff. And I do the same thing when I interview guests that I love going through people's lives. And I find it fascinating because as an actor, it's like you don't work like all the time in the beginning, but you are able to supplement your income and keep working because of your voiceover experience.
Yes, that's what definitely became my day job. Gosh, I'd say when was that? Around 2005 was when in earnest that enabled me to walk away from the other day job. I love it. It's so much fun. Dude, how lucky. I felt very fortunate. I worked really hard to establish that side of my career. Yeah, it's quite wonderful when that came along.
Yeah, I like that because, I mean, you were like on the soap operas, General Hospital, Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, but you're only there as a voiceover artist. Now, how does that work? Do they call you in to do a voice for a character or,
yeah.
I mean, what is it? ADL?
Well, all of the above. What's great is General Hospital, I was actually on camera. I did a couple episodes early on, but for Young and the Restless and also Days of Our Lives, I've done multiple episodes as a voiceover artist. And what's super cool about that is you're called. You have a call time. You go to, say, if it's Young and the Restless, you go to CBS. I have a dressing room. And basically, you're there as an actor. You're just off camera when the scene is up where one of the soap opera stars is doing their scene. You're the voice on their iPad. One time I was the host of a cooking show and the character on the soap opera was learning to cook and the voice of the person they're watching learning to make their chicken cordon bleu or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's kind of cool because you're not like in a holding area and on a set for 14 hours until they say, hey, come on, 10 minutes and waste all your time.
You're live. You're acting with them. And I've been like the voice on a phone call. You're doing a scene, like I've very much been part of a scene. I always approach everything as an actor and what's the story and do your job as far as telling the story goes. But the soap opera voiceover was really fun because the first time I did it, I was in total shock. I didn't realize, oh, I get to go onto the soundstage, onto the set. And I've been in a booth. Other times I was off camera once. Like they wire you and it's really fun. There's so many different experiences we can have in this business and all the different areas of the business. It's kept me on my toes, which I like.
That's great. When you're on the set of the Sopranos and you were doing the stand-in, who did you stand in for?
I stood in, this is funny actually, for Aida Turturro, who is Tony Soprano's sister, and that was four episodes, but I have to say, that was one of my favorite shows. Number two, considering its violent nature, that was the most joyful, happy set and group of people to be around. It was incredible. Like, we were out in Brooklyn, and that was the best craft service you ever had in your life, because it was like, and the best Italian food, the best everything, but everyone was so lovely, and what was amazing personally was James Gandolfini. He was an actor who he really loved rehearsing as much as possible. And he was always lingering, it seemed, on set. I got to rehearse like when Aida wasn't ready yet to come to set. I was rehearsing scenes with James Gandolfini. It was so lovely. And it was just fun. And Aida, yeah, she was fantastic. And she joked, she's like, you're like two of us. Like we're usually a lot of times stand-ins are picked for their matching someone physically or who knows what. But Aida, and I was a little taller than her too. It was a curious thing. But I mean, I was happy as a clam to be any part of that show.
The frustrating thing is I did a lot of stand-in work. Then you go to the movies, of course you're not in there. Then you look at the credits and you're like, hey, I just gave 3 months of my life. Can you give me a freaking credit? Did that happen to you a lot on voiceovers too?
For ADR, no. I mean, it's funny when you watch, like you said, you watch end credits. Every now and then, a lot of times, like sometimes you'll just see the name of a loop group and other times they'll list everyone in the loop group, which is lovely. And that can happen. Like I've noticed that on the big like Marvel movies or things like that. But the smaller stuff, usually it's just, I've never been a member of a loop group, but when I've done ADR, it's always been my agents and I do a lot of, or I've done a lot. It's been a little while, but voice matching, which is a super cool area of ADR where I basically step in for the star of the movie or TV show who can't be there that day and do their ADR. It's trippy because, and I know my voice is in there because you only get residuals. You only get residuals if your voice is still in the movie or TV. It's all done. It's like only I can hear. Like most people would listen to a scene and not know that that monologue was done by Dana Lynn Barron. They think it's just Oscar-winning actress so-and-so, who I won't mention.
That's funny. After going through like your whole career, we're going to get to a lot of this stuff. I just want to talk about something that's pretty important. When I looked at everything on your, I'm just curious, where did you learn how to pick a lock? It says lock picking on your resume.
Yeah, I had to practice it. I learned it from a master sleight of hand. He's amazing. And he was in town in LA doing his show a few nights in this very cool, like unspecified venue downtown LA that they only told you like the day before you were. While he was here, he held a lock picking masterclass because he knew my husband and he invited us to attend. That's where I learned to pick locks.
That's pretty cool. When you were a bartender at the theater, do you still remember how to make any of the drinks, like a slow gin fizz, rusty nail, or did they have basic drinks like rum and coke and just wine, or do you have any fancy drinks?
Well, not anymore. I worked with Sorkin fairly recently on Being the Ricardos, and he shares a story how, like, he also bartended at the theaters when he first got to New York. I'd never waited on tables or worked in a bar, but that was like, you're supposed to do that as an actor because it's a flexible job. I totally get it. I did both those things for about a minute when I first moved to New York, and I hated it all. Like, yep. My problem is I don't believe the customer's always right. It's not true. Something that's well suited for me. And to answer your question, though, no, we learned drinks, and I like drinking drinks that people make for me, but I was just never very good. That said, bartending at the theater, I was at the Court Theater when The Heiress was playing with a then unknown Cherry Jones, unknown to the film and TV world, I guess, but Cherry Jones, before I knew of her, was starring in it, and I never got tired of hearing that play night after night after night after night. That was cool.
Criminal Minds, when you played the police dispatcher, did you work with any of the stars on there? Was that
a voiceover? No, that was my first primetime TV job, and no, it was the tiniest part and was essentially like almost basically cut. Maybe they should cast me on the show again. I'd love to.
Really?
Something.
How'd you get your SAG card?
Oh my goodness. How did I get my SAG card? Oh, I did. This is when it was like when they had featured role. There were no lines, but I was on two episodes of Picket Fences.
Oh wow.
Way back. I played Mayor's daughters. They cast two of us to play his daughters. We were modeled after Nixon's daughters, and I had the best time. I had spent time on sets in New York, like running around New York. I was producing short films and like just spending time on very rough on the streets film sets, but to be on a real TV set. And actually, I said Criminal Minds was my first speaking role in primetime. That's true. But Picket Fences is going, I was in college. Being on that, David E. Kelly, he's on my list of people that I'm dying to work with and for.
Oh, you will.
And I guess I kind of did then. I like working with geniuses. I had Fincher last year and with Kelly. My first episode was Don Cheadle's first episode.
Oh, wow.
Anyone knew who he was. He was playing like a district attorney or something, but he was brand new to the show. Oh my goodness. It was a very modest but cool beginning on TV.
You produced three short films, Riley's Fan, Night Crew, and Ultraviolet. I noticed you were an actor in two of them, but not on Ultraviolet. How does that work?
That is a very good question, and I think about that a lot. And if I could rewind, if I were to go back, which I don't really want to go back, I don't need to go back, but it would have been great to have found myself a mentor. New York was amazing because it kind of creates that energy and that space for you to just go for it and just try things, do things. And I was really smart, but I wasn't yet savvy to the business. I wish I had a mentor because I took on a lot, and because at the time I'm a recovering control freak, and what I wasn't good at then, and still I'm learning about now, is how to delegate.
Let go.
Like, not take it all on. Yeah, how to let go and let others, like, go, you do this, you do this, you do this. I had a producing partner. I didn't feel alone in the whole process, and Night Crew, same thing. With Violet, I was actually connected to the director by a friend of mine who thought I'd be a good match for him to produce it. Like, there was nothing in it for me to be an actor. I remember sitting at a place, and I literally said to the director, I don't know what I'm doing. And he laughed, and he said, fine, let's make a movie.
You're
and
perfect.
It went to Berlin. Yeah, I mean, it was a really unique experience. It was an action-oriented film, which, I mean, I'd love to be in action films, certainly, but as far as I've started to write, I love the dark, heavy stuff as an actor, but my writing veers more towards dark comedy, action film, and run around New York, and it was hard. It was really hard work. It exhausted me, frankly, and it made me realize, no, I'm an actor. I want to leave the door open to producing again. I think anything's possible, and if the right partner comes along and the right opportunities, it's something I think I'm good at and would like to do. I was definitely afraid at the time that people would just see me as a producer, which I know you can be a producer and an actor, and there are ways to do it. It was really a challenge to learn how to do it at that time.
Hey, I'm going to say three words, and you tell me what movie that you were in and what your character. Moose.
Ame Moose?
Yeah. Ame Moose.
Oh, Assassination of Gianni Versace. That sounds like the Latin I was speaking as Versace's teacher in American Crime
Story. Oh, American Crime Story. I'm sorry, I haven't.
Yeah.
That character you play is so believable, spot on, right from the beginning. You get who you are without you having to
Thank
show
you.
Us.
Yeah, I try not to show. I just try to be.
Yeah. That's really great. You do a lot of accents. I don't even, can you just do a few of them for us? Because there's so many to pick from. Can you just do a few?
Well, it's not that easy because, I mean, I have to think about it for once. And it helps last night, I did the SAG Awards, and I love listening to Kate Winslet. And I can't even do her accent because she's talked about this. She actually learned her speech from her grandmother or someone in her family who's an actor. And she's actually working class. Anyway, I don't know. I could go on.
That was great.
It's hard to switch because I have like a key phrase that I usually go into. I have an audition I have to do and it's taking place somewhere in the South, which will remain nameless at the moment. But we've got to get into this little sound here. I don't know if you can hear it. It's hard to switch.
We're going
to
wrap all this up. March 27th is the Oscars. And you are in an Oscar-nominated film called
yes.
Ian the Ricardos. Miss
yes.
Rosen, is that how you say it, or is it Rose? And you're the
Ms.
secretary
Rosen.
To Des... Ms. Rosen, that's right. And you're secretary to Desi Arnaz. Is that Cole Kidman? That's just like a dream. And you can actually win an Oscar.
It was a dream, and I love that. Yeah, Nicole and Javier Bardem are both nominated. And our characters, although we were in the room together for a couple scenes, never interact as characters.
Wow.
But Javier, I spent over the course of a month with him because I'm his secretary. What a joy. The whole thing was a dream. It was a joy. The two of them are pros, leaders on set without being leaders. They're there. They're present. They show up on time. They're ready and they're there with you. They're generous. And it was like flying. I felt like I definitely was not acting. I was just able to be there with them and tell this wonderful story written by one of our masters, as I previously mentioned, Mr. Aaron Sorkin. Lucky me to say his word.
I'm on your Instagram page and I see the red carpet and you're wearing this beautiful black dress, this beautiful necklace, bracelet. Did someone dress you? Was that your...
Yeah, I worked with my friend, Taryn, who is my stylist, and we've been on a sustainable fashion journey. All of my looks have been sustainable. I'm going to say 99% from head to toe, I've been wearing sustainable fashion, which I've been very proud to do, and it's a new journey for me, but I'm very interested in that. And yes, I had that dress was loaned to me by a dear friend. It was worn to the Oscars or the Governor's Ball, something previously, and my jewelry is from a designer who I'm so grateful to be friends with now, Marin Costello, who ethically sources her metals. I was wearing my grandmother's bracelet.
Oh, wow. That's special.
Yeah, and I was wearing a vegan Italian shoes that were wonderfully loaned to me by Mink, again, an Italian shoe company. And it was very cool to be able to represent eco-fashion.
Are you going to be able to go to the Oscars?
No, that's not in the stars
this time around.
Again, it's funny, for multiple reasons. Invite lists are quite small still, all things considered, because of COVID. Also, if it had been nominated for Best Film category, maybe, but not the time for it for me. I may be going to the Critics' Choice Awards. That remains
right.
to be seen. There's a lot of up in the air. My publicist just told me to sit tight. She's been amazing, just helping me get out there. This is the first time I've hired a publicist, and so that's been a very cool experience, really fun, a lot of learning. You never stop learning.
Hey, somebody getting into the acting business or voiceover business today, based on all your experience, what advice would you have for them?
Be trained.
You
can be careful saying that because there are a few people with just natural gifts. There are a few. But to me, what we do, my body is my instrument. Our bodies are fit to show up not only mentally fit, but emotionally fit, physically fit, spiritually fit. I say my whole thing is if you're not working on a TV set or film set or on a stage in a theater or in a booth doing voiceover, you ought to be in class. It's like the gym. Football players don't just sit on their couch in the off season. They train. You keep do what you need to do in your off time. Maybe you're not in class, but maybe you're spending time in nature. Maybe you're going to museums. Maybe you're hearing or looking at other art. Just keep feeding. You need to keep feeding yourself with beauty and really be honest about, like I always feel like I have stuff to work on and places to grow in. I love going back to class because my teacher, coach gives me hard stuff that isn't easy. And I love that because I'm not done.
Oh, no, you're not done. So wrapping up here, is there anything else that you'd like to say that we didn't cover or anything you just want to say?
I just want to say that it's a journey. And if you love what you do, you need to keep going. Jessica Chastain spoke on the SAG Awards last night about this. If you're feeling in the struggle of it, like feeling like you're not yet being seen, not getting the opportunities, but you know in your gut and in your heart, like this is what I'm meant to do, then do it and just keep the faith. I try not to listen to the brain when it says, you should be doing this because every other actor out there is doing it. I listen to my gut. Like, what do I need now to feed not just my actor self, but me? We're human beings in the end, and that's what we're bringing to the table. You have to have a life and give yourself as much as possible what you need to feed your creativity. Keep the faith and know you're not alone.
That's awesome, because some people, they tune into the program, and they could just be popping into one of my podcasts, and every time there's a bit of advice, I always ask this question, and they're just like, I'm done. I'm giving up. I just can't. And then they hear someone like you. I mean, even me too, just listening to you. I mean, you spoke to me right now, because I'm the same way, and I feel it. When I feel that I'm close to something, I feel that I'm close to a series, but every day you could just go, what? I'm a real estate broker. I'm just going to sell real estate. I'm a plumber. I'm an apartment manager or just whatever. Screw this acting stuff. But man, I mean, I want to thank you for even just giving me that motivation as well, because every time you turn around, you're starting over again.
Well, and also just one other thing to throw out there, just know we can't predict it, but you are one job away from your life and or career possibly changing in some way. And know that. And you made me think of something else, which I totally forgot, but it's endurance. There's an endurance required. Oh, I guess I was just going to say, this has taken a long time, you guys. For me, I'm fact that the way things have opened up for me just in the last even 5 years, the acceleration, the momentum, like, holy moly, like now it's not too late. You're not too late. You are on time. Just know that you have time and you are on time. Everything is happening in the right timing for you.
Awesome. Hey, Dana, thank you so much for being on my show. I really appreciate you doing my podcast, Oscar nominated film. That's so amazing. thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. You're doing me a huge, huge favor.
It was my pleasure.
And the audience listening to it, I'm sure you spoke to them as you spoke to me. And just thank you so much for taking time out of your day to enlighten my audience. I really, really appreciate it.
Of course. I had a great time talking to you.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
DanaLynBaron.com. Film actor, TV actor, voiceover artist, being the Ricardos, Oscar nominated film. Wow. And remember, if you're looking for a real estate agent anywhere in the United States, we have a nationwide real estate referral service. Just go to TeamRiley.com. Oh, really? No, Riley. TeamRiley.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm Johnny Keith, your host. Now we're going to end this episode with something called The Lesson. Because life is a bitch. Gee, really? Why don't you tell me something I don't already know? Because everywhere I go, people tell me what to do. Hey, go to church, go to school, you treat me like a fool. Now, I don't need religion, culture, or class. You don't like that fact? Well, you can kiss my ass. Yeah, I'm white and I rap. You got a problem with that? Loosen up and don't be so uptight. Take it easy, E. We got the whole night. Yes, I'm psyched. I'm ready to get the show on the road. I don't want to stop because I just might explode. I tell you what, home slice, I'm twice as nice than any bad boy rapper called Vanilla Ice. My lesson, yeah, it's hip. In case you didn't know what I'm here to inform you, I'm better than snow. I don't moonwalk or dunk like these Michael J's, but I can hold my own. You hear what I say? Now listen, learn, because here comes the lesson. Lesson one. Everybody sit down, JK is gonna take you for a ride uptown. Yo, this is the story of the Hollywood game. Choose your path careful, you're the only one to blame. Now when it comes to pot, crack, tweak, or blow, stick to the rules and just say no. Because you're young, you're eager, you want in the movies. Don't think you'll get there by giving up the booty, cause they'll use you, abuse you, throw you out like trash. And then you'll discover that you're out of cash. Now your heart, your soul is somewhere on the shelf, and you're walking through the streets now talking to yourself. The lesson. Well, you heard lesson one, it's time for lesson two. You have a choice, and the choice is up to you. I came to Hollywood to be a rich and famous star, but for now I'm waiting tables and I'm tending someone's bar. Pictures, classes, agents, where the hell does it all end? Every time I turn around, I'm starting over again. I finally got a break with a five line and under. My life was starting to roar like lightning and thunder. The phone rings, hello, I'm cast in a pilot. My life spun out of control just like an LA riot. I walked off the set, said to hell with this old man. The phone's not even ringing and my life is in the can. The lesson. Yeah, final lesson here. Of course it's number 3. Now remember, I'm an actor to be or not to be. When the going got tough, I climbed into the bottle. I'm back on my feet now, revving my throttle on the climb to the top. It's the same old games. Now I'm kicking ass and I'm taking some names. Clawing, scraping, screaming, that was a long, hard crawl. But it was all worth it. I'm a box office draw. Opportunity was there when I took it with a punch. Not now, baby, but let's do lunch. There's a big piece of pie and you should grab your portion. You can be like me, enjoying fame and fortune. Boom. That's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Peace out. Thank you for tuning in to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Until the next episode, bye-bye.